Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com. They want to be down with the
kids. Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with RJ here with you for the next 3 hours on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We will have Mike Stanton joining us a little bit later in the show to talk some Astros baseball. Baseball was front and center yesterday. Last night, did you watch the, did you see the perfect moment? It's being called the perfect moment.
It was a pretty cool moment, I got to say, yep. Watching Otani on the mound closing versus Mike Trout at the bat.
Two outs, ninth inning.
It's wild because Mike Trout was healthy,
yeah,
playing baseball. So for one, that was like, whoa, Mike Trout is healthy?
Yeah.
So that's the first thing that happened. And then, and then Otani is throwing it up at 100 miles an hour, and it's which was too much for Trout to handle. And then he threw one pitch. It was a ball in the dirt. And then he comes with the slider. It was a nasty slider. And struck out Trout. And that was, Japan celebrated like crazy.
Yeah, it's a big slider moment. Is like a, I don't know how that must have come in at 98.
Oh,
it's stupid.
It's coming in so fast.
So
looks just like a fastball.
So yesterday, a major leaguer, I asked, who's the best player in baseball?
I saw an article today where they said potentially the two best players in baseball were facing off, Trout and Otani. Are we still saying that about Trout? I mean, I think he kind of almost gets a default as the best player, but you got to be healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, probably Otani.
No.
You could say Mike Judge.
This guy said it's Otani, and it's not even close who's the best player.
I mean, it should be because the guy is a great pitcher and hitter.
Yeah.
Who's ever done this in history other than Babe Ruth?
That's it. That's it.
That was 100 years ago.
Yeah, right. I mean, no, this guy is, he's stupid, stupid good.
He's a really good pitcher and a really good hitter.
Now, Japan wins the World Baseball Classic. I get, it wasn't like we started Merrill Kelly, and then after that, we brought in Joe Plummer. And then after that, it wasn't like
these guys don't play Major League Baseball.
And Verlander.
These are all major leaguers, though.
Did what?
These are all major leaguers.
They're all major leaguers. They're not Verlander and Scherzer.
But the Japan team's not even major leaguers for the most part.
Well, no, but they're Japanese players.
They're their best Japanese players. Yeah, that's great. But, I mean, we don't think they're better than
No, but they're their best players in their country. We didn't have our best players in our country.
Well,
the lineup was pretty damn good.
Hey, the U.S. was a pretty good favorite.
Yeah.
To win that.
-140.
And they were beaten. And they were a pretty good favorite. I mean, they were the favorite to win it all.
We did
before
start Merrill Kelly, though. Just so,
well, it
just
doesn't matter. There. I mean, look at the hitters.
No, I know.
Hey,
but
listen, if it bothers you, then play better players.
No, I'm in the Asian community. I'm happy for Japan.
You moved out of your house years ago.
I don't care. You know what? I was kind of rooting for Otani, if you want. I don't care. That's how much I don't care. I did like the moment. I did like, hey, I would love to see Trout go deep on him here.
I was rooting
that
for
been, that would have been totally
I was rooting for USA, USA.
Well, no, I'm
but me, I did like the moment. It was a pretty cool moment, two teammates like that. The two best players on the team.
I was rooting for AL West, okay? So it was Otani, Trout, and I'm an SEC guy.
You know, it was called in an article I was reading, it was called the biggest at-bat of Mike Trout's professional career.
Name another one.
Well, that's what I was saying. At first, I was like, World Baseball Classic is the biggest. And then I thought about it, and I'm like, yeah, probably
he's
is.
He's played three postseason games and lost all three.
Yeah, I mean, he's on a big stage.
Huh.
He's on a huge national stage. The TV ratings have been phenomenal on this in other countries. I haven't seen this country.
Well, I mean, last night probably was okay here.
I think it was probably pretty good here, and I think it was going to be monumental in Japan. And so what's going to happen is the World Baseball, Lindor's like, I cannot wait to play in 26. He already tweeted that out, and the ratings are going to be good for baseball. I know the talk is good locally for sure about Jose Altuve, and certainly with the Mets with Edwin Diaz. It's just kind of bad luck stuff. It could happen in baseball. It could happen in a spring game. Nothing's going to change. I mean, they could change. We'll talk about it a little bit because there's talk about, how would you like this? What if you did like with this, what you did with the World Cup, and you took 2 weeks off of baseball during the All-Star break? You took 2 weeks off and you played World Baseball Classic instead of the All-Star game. I don't think it's going to happen, but that's the idea, is like the World Cup, because this is what Major League Baseball is going to really like. Is that,
then you better cut the season down.
The Major League Baseball,
you can't put 2 weeks off in the middle of a baseball 162 game season.
I know. They would have to go down to, and it might give them a reason to go down to 150, maybe something like that. But it might be the impetus for saying, "Oh, that's what we're going to do." And some players look at it like, "Hey, we get a break. This is great."
Right.
If you're not playing, if you are playing, you may want some kind of financial, incentive. I don't know, but. I do, and it might even actually inspire some players to play in this. Now, of course, if there's any injuries in the middle of the season, then people will freak out. So probably that's the one argument against it, is you don't want that to be blamed for Jose Altuve missing the rest of the season. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or a chunk. That would be pretty tough, because there's probably about as many injuries in soccer as in baseball, and no one talks about that. I mean, you don't have a lot of injuries in baseball. I mean, you do. Guys break down, but in game where people have to be helped off the field or something like that, that's right. Not going to happen much.
So you got some sound right from this. So I was amazed. Listen, their cleanup hitter, Murakami, or he was their fifth hitter. He was their number five hitter, Murakami. He hit the double to send him into the final, and then he homered in his first at bat last night. He saw the first pitch of the second inning. He just crushed it into the second deck. He's 23 years old. He's won a batting title in Japan already, or two. I think, whatever. This guy's going to make a lot of money.
Well, you saw a pitcher the other day just got signed to a minor league deal on a strength of one inning of work.
Yeah.
Because people went, wait, what now? Well, Barbados or wherever he's from. Major League Baseball team said, whoa, well, look at this guy's
stuff.
Apparently
this guy isn't the Roki Sasaki. No, I know that. This is a pitcher. Roki Sasaki is a pitcher for Japan. And here's what they're saying about this guy.
He is dynamic. I mean, they're talking about ahead of Ohtani and his pitching. And we all know what Ohtani's doing as a pitcher. His ability to throw a fastball free and easy and repeat his mechanics and that split finger. He didn't even throw his slider or curveball. And I'm not blown away by too many hyped up moments. I've had the Strasburg moment. And he lived up to that hype that night and struck out 14. And of course, his career has been unfortunately undone by injuries, but this kid is special. And so there were 64 scouts. Now that number doesn't make sense to me. There's 30 teams. Do I really need two from every team? But there were 64 people watching him pitch last night.
He pitched in the semifinal. And apparently, this is the guy. I think that hitter, Murakami, is going to be a superstar.
Well, that's why this is not going anywhere, because Major League Baseball loves the fact. They just had a thing where Buster Olney is on ESPN, and they ask him, do the injuries to Diaz and Altuve tarnish the World Baseball Classic? In Houston and in New York with Mets fans, the answer will be yes. Everywhere else, it's going to be no, because they don't care. If your own guy doesn't get hurt, you don't care about anything for the most part. Baseball's so regional. And Major League Baseball understands.
No, a lot of fans are going to say, no, it was karma. It was good.
Actually, they'll say, tarnish it, made it better.
Yeah.
That's what they'll say. But the fact is, Major League Baseball understands, like NBA with China, if they get the Japanese market, and they've had, they've had Arabu, they've had Hideo Nomo. It's not like there's been no. But
Ichiro.
Ichiro, and now you have, Ichiro was huge, and now you have
Ohtani.
Have Ohtani.
Right.
I mean, but if they start getting, it's those are individual players. If you start getting one player on, five different players are in the league that are high caliber, all-star caliber players, it's going to bring in more eyes, and it's more money for, let's face it, baseball, we've been talking about baseball struggles, this, that. They got to change this rule, that rule. If baseball can just add an influx of viewers and a new TV deal based on the Japanese market, oh, my gosh.
Did you hear the story of how baseball started in Japan?
No.
In 1934, apparently Babe Ruth and Ty Cobb, it might have been Ty Cobb and some other and major leaguers, took a trip to Japan, and it was hit. I mean, this is a time when limited media and whatnot, coverage and everything else, and yet it was like they were unbelievable superstars there. 2 years later, they started the Japanese Major League League.
Oh, wow.
Their baseball league. 2 years in 1936.
So Babe Ruth was the Michael Jordan of baseball?
Yeah, he is. Huh. He absolutely is. Or Tiger Woods. I was amazed when Tiger Woods went to, like, third world countries. They were swarmed him that they even knew who Tiger Woods was.
That's when you know we had the internet.
That's when you know how big a dude is.
Because would anybody have known Tiger Woods in the 70s in other countries? Probably not. You would have had to have had a Sports Illustrated article.
I don't know. Babe Ruth in the 1934.
Yeah, that's true. They may not have even known him.
Yeah.
It may have just been, these are baseball. They may have just said, oh, wow, look at this big man. And or they may not have even, said,
you know,
like, how would you know him from the 30s?
I don't know.
Telegraphs?
I wasn't there. I don't know if they knew him or didn't know him. All I know is he actually started up the entire Japanese baseball.
It gave him the excitement to do it,
right,
I guess.
Exactly.
That's a cool story.
Yeah. So, anyway, so we own Japanese baseball. I ain't worried about what happened last night. Okay. By the way, we won it last time. Although Japan has won it three times now, and nobody else has won it twice. So, World Baseball Classic. I didn't watch any, so I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna poo-poo it. I hate to tell Jose Altuve got hurt.
It's kind of wild that out of all these great Latin American baseball countries, that Japan is winning. But they got their own professional league. They're probably deeper. And they do have some high-end players and players we've just never heard of. And not every Latin American player. I mean, Carlos Correa, Yordan. There's guys who are not playing in the World Baseball Classic that would.
Yeah.
But I'll bet you what happens is it starts to become, like, after this year, it's going to start to be where players really want to go. Like, you may see a few American players say, I want to go next time. That looks fun.
Don't you wonder if it would have been different if Justin Verlander and Scherzer were there?
Oh, sure. But yeah, if you're Verlander, I don't think you can do it. Like, you're too old.
Yeah, I mean.
You just can't take that
wear. It's not like the Olympics where I added a World Baseball Classic to my resume.
Resume, no.
Yeah, he doesn't need
it. But he might want to do it like. He might want to be excited about doing it, but I just don't think you can do it with
all the guys that seem to be excited about it. So good for them. Good on them. I mean, it was. Hey,
this is spring training for them.
I
really actually
tuned in to see it. You know, I wanted to see it. So it
meant a lot to Japan.
The perfect moment, honestly. There was watching Ohtani versus Trout was fantastic. It was fantastic.
The only thing that would have been better would be, you know, Presley versus maybe Dubon for the French team.
Presley versus Dubon for the French and the Americans. Americans playing the Frenchies.
I'm assuming Dubon, who's Venezuelan, can play for the French team because of his dad.
Mauricio Dubon.
Yeah, his dad was obviously French. Clearly,
obviously. He's got some.
I have no knowledge of that, but I'm just pretty sure of it.
I don't know. I don't know how Rudy is. He's probably French. I don't know. Time for you, and let's go 713-780-3776. Anybody?
Dad, did you watch it? Did you? Yeah. Do you have thoughts on a World Baseball Classic? You guys can give us a shout. We don't have our college basketball cranking up until it cranks up officially tomorrow. But for the Cougs and for Longhorns, you know, it's going to crank up a day later.
On Friday. But we do have some Astros news that we have to get to on the other side. So we'll do that when we get back right here on ESPN 97.5. But right now we got a little QC.
So QC Kinetics. It's funny. QC Kinetics, you hear. Let's see, Bobby Carpenter has talked about them, a former linebacker from Ohio State, played in the league a little bit. Emmett Smith was one of their first spokespeople, because that process of taking the body's healing power, the regenerative medicine or the regenerative therapies is the rage with professional athletes and has been for a long time. It's really an alternative to getting shots that are temporary relief, taking the pain pills, eventually having surgery, the downtime after surgery. It doesn't have to be like that. That's the old way, and that methodology is not necessarily the best for many, many people. A lot of people, including my wife, see a difference with being able to just have the biological therapies where your body's healing power does the work for you, and you start to see damaged tissue and well, it regenerates the damaged tissue and restores the damaged tissue. So you're getting new tissue and you're restoring the damaged tissue. That's when you start to see the pain subside. And that chronic pain in your hip, your shoulder, your back, it's all of a sudden, wow, how is it so much better? But it happens very, very quickly. And for people who have extensive injuries, they can get better much quickly too, much more quickly as well. QCKinetics.com. That's QCKinetics.com. New location in the Sugarland area, 713-913-5285.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Winding down spring training right now. And there aren't many things, although we haven't seen the Astros this banged up coming into a season before. Michael Brantley on the IL. He's not going to start the season with the team. They're putting him on the IL because he's just not ready to hit yet. Dusty says he's taken some batting practice, but he's not ready to face live pitching. So that's that. Jordan is still iffy whether or not they haven't let him hit in back-to-back days. So, and I don't know, I think mostly just soft toss and whatnot. So he is iffy, and we'll see what happens with Jordan to start the season. We know about Lance McCullers, and so there's that. The Astros, the bullpen, they just sent Matt Gage down, their only left-hander in the bullpen. Dusty's okay with that. He says he's always crying about lefties. But then there's a spot. It's going to be interesting to see a sixth starter. They play 19 games in 21 days to start the season. 19 games in 21 days. So they want to go to a six-man rotation even to start the season because it's, 19 and 21, which doesn't seem like a hell of a lot, especially to start the season. But Urquidy's behind. Urquidy only threw 47 pitches from Mexico when they said they were hoping that they would stretch him out. And we'll see whether or not he is going to be stretched out long enough. You're going to need more long relievers in the bullpen. Seth Martinez is probably the guy because here's Dana Brown talking about Ronel Blanco. And the possibility of Ronel Blanco has really impressed him this spring. He could be a starter.
I'm really focused in on starter depth. I think those things like starter depth is where you get on a roll of winning. And so I really like to have a lot of starter depth. In fact, when I saw Blanco throw the other day, I said, hey, man, this guy might have a chance to start. I mean, his actions were clean. He had three pitches. He threw strikes. And so my vision was maybe now to stretch him out. Maybe we could make him into a starter in AAA, and maybe he could potentially be depth. So I'm evaluating a team as we watch these games and try to put my scouting hat on and combine that with my analytic department that we have here and maybe talk some strategies. But Blanco would be like one of the first things that that really stood out. And so I have a vision of him maybe potentially becoming a starter.
So that would probably hand the last relief job to Seth Martinez and leave Brandon Bielak. I know that you'll be disappointed to hear Brandon Bielak out in the cold or in the warmth of Sugarland.
It's going to be very warm at that time. They don't play indoors.
No, right. It'll be, well, right.
You're in
we've had some cold spells here. You don't know. I mean, it's close to the equator. It's south of here in Sugarland.
It's usually warmer during baseball season. It doesn't usually get cold.
Well, no, but even...
We're in the 80s all next in 2
April,
weeks.
I mean, there's a chance you could have a cold
80s
spell.
All next 2 weeks. He'll be fine.
Yeah, no, I got... Yeah. So, Ronel Blanco, a guy who looked pretty good and actually started on the big team last year, but that was when they started with 28 guys, and he got sent down right away. when the rosters were trimmed to 26, and then we never saw him again. So you know, that's a real possibility. And the other possibility is that with Brantley down, that Justin Durden is on the team.
Mm-hmm.
That Justin Durden makes this baseball team, and actually they run him out there to play left field. I mean, he's got a gun. They've seen that. And he's hit. He's 7-for-20 this spring, hitting .350, and he's got a little pop as well, and he's a left-handed bat. All of these things are like, well, I mean,
lefty off the bench, you don't mind that at all. And so, you know, Todd Callis told us that was the guy that he thought is the obvious choice for a guy to break out. Although he said, he did mention he thinks Kyle Tucker's going to be a monster, like a monster. So could that be a... could that be an MVP, a potential MVP, kind of a dark horse MVP candidate? You know what is? You know what he's like 20-1.
Kyle Tucker,
uh-huh. 20-1 odds.
Well, he's I don't know.
Could he go 40 homer? Could he go 40 homers? It's awfully high.
35.
Yeah,
I think he goes 60. But
Todd thinks he's going 30-30.
Yeah.
With the new rules, he thinks he gets to 30 stolen bases. Huh. Here's Todd. Well, here's Todd Callis yesterday talking about this very thing.
So, I mean, the easy answer would be Justin Durden based on what we've seen this spring, because he might make the roster if Brantley starts the year on the IL. He would be the easy guy. And I think it's not really a breakout, but I think the guy who's going to exceed his numbers that people expect by even more and be an MVP candidate, I think Kyle Tucker is going to have a huge year this year. I think Tuck has looked locked in from day one. I think the new rules in baseball that are going to be an advantage for stolen base guys, and he's our best stolen base threat on the team, are going to give him a chance to catch his number of 30 steals in a year. He'll probably steal 30 or more, I would think, based on what he's done in the past. I think Tuck, you know, Yordan Alvarez, if he's healthy for the entire year, is always going to be the Astros' top MVP candidate, as he was last year. But I think Tucker this year could be good enough to be in that MVP race. I think he's going to have a monster season.
He was a 30-25 guy last year, so it's certainly not out of the question, especially with the bigger bases, that he could be a 30-20 and not throwing over. Kyle Tucker could take advantage of it.
And not being run by a analytics-heavy manager and general manager, I wonder if that will change at all, because Click and obviously Jeff Leno come from the world of
even with outs Click, he stole 25.
Yeah, but outs are so valuable. You get the feeling Dusty, like Click, that was not in charge of how they were going to play baseball. That was all Dusty. Maybe Jeff Leno had a little bit more juice with AJ, and maybe AJ believed, hey, outs are too valuable, we're not going to run as much. Because Altuve's stolen base totals really dipped over time. Remember, this guy used to steal 50 bases.
Yeah, but he also had some leg problems, too.
He did, but yeah. I mean, his stolen base numbers started coming down, I think even maybe before the leg stuff. It happens with a lot of major leaguers, but also analytics does not believe in bunting. They don't believe in stealing bases because the outs are too valuable. Like, you can steal bases, but I do think Dusty is a little bit more aggressive in that regard. And listen, Kyle Tucker's just a great stole. The analytics also tell you Kyle Tucker didn't get caught much. And it's a successful move when he's – you don't have to be analytics-driven to say, I'm not sure George Springer should steal that much. I know we think he's fast because he plays center field, but
he's not that good at it.
He gets picked off a lot, and he just doesn't make it
He's not that good at it. So if you're not really, really good at it, then you probably shouldn't do it. That's my motto.
Yeah.
And George Springer –
well, and yet the most analytics-driven general manager I've ever seen, Daryl Morey, on more than one occasion, went and got guys like Josh Smith and
Corey
Brewer. Boy, those guys couldn't shoot. Well, they're shooting threes.
I don't know what.
It's a thing that will never make sense to me.
Never, ever. We got to shoot more threes. Let's get Corey Brewer. What? Now what? Now
that's like asking George, steal third. Just keep stealing.
Yeah.
Never stop stealing, George.
Brantley on the IR doesn't worry you?
Yeah, it does. I mean, we just, you know, everyone was, Uncle Mike is back. Yeah, everything's fine. Uncle Mike couldn't even make it back last year, and now he's on the IR. This is going to be coming up on a one-year injury. Yeah, this concerns me.
Yeah.
On a shoulder that was already hurt. Yeah, it's bothersome to me.
Yeah, I don't know, in and out. We'll see what happens.
George was 14 stolen bases, 2 caught last year.
Really?
Yeah, before that with the Astros, 4-1, 1-2, 6-2, 6-4, 5-7, 9-10.
That's no good.
He was like on the wrong side of it.
That's no. Maybe they just have a better stolen base coach in Toronto than the Astros did.
Maybe he doesn't get picked off all the time. Michael Brantley not being there. I mean, look, he wasn't there last year for much of the year, so it's not. I'm not totally panicked in this. And Yordan's going to be playing. You have another DH, but you're not as deep. You're not as deep with Yuli being gone, but because that's one you've got. You know, who is your DH right now?
Well, hopefully Yordan, I would imagine.
So you're going to play who are you playing? Myers in the left?
Is there a chance that we've been assuming
that Michael Brantley would be the starter and that Yordan would be
Durden
the DH.
Is probably going to be the starter, or Yordan's going to be the starter and Durden. I don't know that you waste Durden's arm. But I don't think you want to put Yordan out there if you don't have.
Listen, it's Hensley. It's Hensley and Durden, or Hensley and.
Well, Hensley. Yeah.
It's going to be Hensley and Durden, or Hensley and Jake Myers. It's going to be Hensley, one of those two combinations.
It's Hensley
along
second.
With Machete.
It's probably Hensley at second, or Dubon play. It's probably an opening day with Fromber on the mound. Dubon at second, Hensley in left.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
No, well, it's whiz what it is.
It is. But this is why the Michael Brantley thing is a concern. Like, you sure you wanted to go after Michael Brantley? Are you sure you're okay with his physicals? Like, did you know what his physical situation was when you signed him? Because he's not ready yet. Did the Astros know that was going to be the case? I mean, the guy went out in June last year.
If he plays 5 months of the season, if he misses the first month, then
that's fine. Yeah. That's fine. But is it going to pop up again? This is the same shoulder, 2 major injuries.
Yeah.
And this one has taken him. Maybe they're being ultra cautious.
I think he DHs a lot more. You know, he would say, you know, Yordan said he wants to play more left field. I think that's going to be the case. And Brantley's going to be sitting on the bench. I know one thing. Right here and right now, I know about this CBD oil. I've been talking about CBD oil. I was talking about CBD oil before and the healing powers of it.
You were first on it. You were first into...
Not really.
You put everyone on game with CBD oil.
No, not
though.
Really, but American Shaman, I used to speak for them. And American Shaman has all kinds of great products. And as a matter of fact, American Shaman, you need to get this. You need to get this hemp in a pouch made of hemp with CBD oil in it because... It's perfect for guys. There's a lot of guys that will come in to your CBD shops, and they are going to, they're dipping. And if they see this dip right here that, you know, no tobacco, no nicotine, the Dew Blend or the Canstead, they're going to say, man, I need a can of this. It's also got CBD in it. So you're not going to spit, you know, and normally you got the spit cup or the bottle, the beer bottle with the spit in it. That's just gross, guys. That's just gross. And, oh, by the way, you're hurting yourself. I can't tell you how harmful. You know how harmful it is. You continue to do it, though. It's like a smoker. I know how harmful it is, but I continue to do it because I want to do it. Well, how about doing it? You can still dip, but you're doing it safely. Hemp in a pouch, made of hemp with CBD oil. It's Dew Blend and it's Canstead. Why don't you try it? They got all the flavors you could possibly want. It's all at 975dip.com. That's 975dip.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. This is Janae Aiko. Is that Kelly Aiko?
She's too not related to Kelly Aiko. She's Aiko? A little too. She's too slender for
Kelly's
certain
not
people.
A big
no, guy. No, no. I'm saying she's not going to be on Barstool's pages with booty.
Oh, she's not?
No. Nah. She's slender. She's beautiful.
Is she?
She's slender. Dell might say, she's not slim thick either.
She's not slim thick?
Not slim
thick. She's just skinny.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Big skinny. Sean's girl. They still, I know they were on, off. They're like, she's good with Big Sean, right? Aren't you?
I hope so.
Hold on.
Big Sean.
On the mic. I think they're married.
Yeah, are they married?
That doesn't mean anything.
Although this is just the instrumental. Yeah, check out Jhené Aiko.
I'm not going to check her out. That's another man's woman.
Google it.
Big Sean. Me and Big Sean. Are you good with Big Sean?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't want to get that going again with you and Big Sean all of a sudden having your issues from the last time you and Big Sean got into it.
No, right. I don't need
when
that.
When he told you that he doesn't bleep with you. By the way, that was a John Granato diss track. You don't know that, RJ. That was because him and John used to have beef. Here, if you can play the song just a little bit, a cleaned up version. This was a John Granato diss track because John dissed him at the Super Bowl in New York at 14, and Big Sean was big mad. And so Big Sean came up with a Granato diss track, and it gained some traction. I'm not going to lie. I thought you took the L on this one when he dropped "I Don't."
Oh, well, that's how you saw it, but I don't think I took the L, but okay.
People didn't hear your diss track of him in 14.
No, right. No.
That's what got him so upset. Now, underground hip-hop people remember it, obviously.
Me, did you see the Chris Rock special?
Yes.
Me and Chris Rock, we don't need no beef with no more rappers. You're stupid and no.
Game with you. See, this is Big Sean in his diss track. You little dumb man. I'm with you. I got a million trillion things I'd rather do. They do
bring it up
with you. Little stupid and I don't give a. Look, I don't give a about you or anything that you do. Don't give a about you or anything. It hits harder when all the bad words are in it. I see you taking the pic. Then you post it up thinking that it's making me sick. I see you calling, I'll be making the quick. Okay. I'm gonna answer that. Nice try. Even though it sounds like he's making this about a girl he broke up with, it was actually a Granato diss track. So
yeah.
Just want you to.
Oh, Big Sean. We're good.
But
now.
You're good now. Yeah, we're I don't want to start anything up. Back up. Not again. Up.
Not that. Aside.
Not again. That was tense moments in the mid 2010s.
Speaking of tense moments, Bobby Petrino met the media spring, and this is going to be interesting this season. It really is going to be.
Need to get off to a good
he
start.
He don't want to hear nothing. He don't want to hear about no Bobby. He don't. Jimbo ain't about that Bobby Petrino life right now. He got a little testy yesterday in his press conference about the offense, asked incessantly about Bobby Petrino because the media, know.
This team and Bobby Petrino, okay? We're Texas A&M football team. We're trying to get better and get wins next year.
What about the offense, Jimbo? What about this new Bobby Petrino offense?
Jimbo, how much difference will there be in the offense, and how much control?
We ain't worried about. Here's what we're doing.
How much control does Bobby have?
We're running our thing. We're going to be base fundamentals. We ain't getting into scheme. We ain't getting into anything. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to practice. And what we're going to do on a daily basis. Put in that day, and then we'll be base fundamentals. How you execute your scheme is what's about fundamentals.
How would you describe similarities and differences between you two philosophically?
We ain't got enough hours on day to do all that. But at the end of the day, we believe in one thing, execution. So at the end of the day, that's what it's about. An over route's an over route, a dig's a dig. How you get there, what you do. And we get so caught up in it's not scheme, it's execution. And then that goes back to how do you execute? Fundamentals, alignment, assignment, technique, no matter what you do. And if you want to know technicals, if you go watch everybody in the country, everybody does the same thing.
I don't know, Jimbo. I don't know. Some guys are scheming it up a little bit better. I mean, quite frankly, Jimbo's offense has not been good since Jameis. His offense
did you,
has been.
Did you think, I mean, what are the differences and similarities? Did you think, no, I think they did say similarities too, similarities and differences. I don't have enough hours for that. Do you think that was that a little shot or no?
Yeah.
You thought so? Because he said similarities, differences, but what he's basically saying is we're very different.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, right? That's what he's saying, I think. And so maybe it wasn't meant that way, but I took that as I'm not trying to be a ship starter. Look, I squashed this stuff with you and Big Sean. I don't want to start anything with Big Jimbo and Big Bobby and Bobby P. I don't want to get any of that going, but it did sound like he's saying there's not enough time in the day for us to get into all that stuff right there.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. Because Bobby, do you think it came from on high that Bobby to be the guy, or was that Jimbo's decision? Or
I don't know, because I'm telling you, this is going to be really, really interesting where the credit's going to go. And he's already saying, hey, It ain't about Bobby. It ain't about no offense. It's offense. We're going to do it's fundamentals. It's about technique. It's about execution.
Remember, I mean, Buddy Ryan and Mike Ditka?
Yep.
You know, that wasn't great.
No, Buddy and anybody's offense.
I'm talking about Mike Ditka and who got the credit for the 85 Bears.
Oh, absolutely.
You remember, it was like the guys were running Buddy off the field on their shoulders and stuff like that. Ditka didn't like it.
No, he didn't like that. And Jimbo ain't going to like it when they're carrying Bobby Petrino on his shoulders after winning the national championship either. He ain't going to like that. I think it's going to be an interesting year. I do. I think that after games and the offenses, if the offense plays really well, he's going to have to answer some Petrino. I don't know. Does Jimbo let his assistants talk? Have we seen? Yeah, they have, right? Have we heard from his coordinators? I don't know. I don't remember.
Not from Chief. Not from.
I don't know.
Elko, it'll be interesting to see Elko how didn't, much. No, I don't. I don't.
How much?
I don't know if he lets them or doesn't let them. Well, nationally, maybe locally with the Aggies. You know, maybe people who cover the Aggies locally, maybe they talk to him on a regular basis.
Yeah, I don't recall how much national play. Yeah. Texas A&M's coordinators are going to get.
Well, because the OC, I mean,
now this will bring some national attention. Bobby Petrino, that's
for
sure.
Oh yeah. And listen, I talked to an NFL assistant general manager, and we were talking about Ohio State quarterbacks, and his whole thing was Ohio State quarterbacks have an issue reading defenses. And I'll tell you why it matters with Bobby Petrino. He didn't coach here. But he told me this. This is interesting. He talked to a coach who was on his staff one time, and he said, Ohio State quarterbacks don't read defenses. Their offense is such that they don't really have to read defenses the way that other teams, the other quarterbacks do. So when they come into the league, he said, you know, they're not really reading it the way that we teach it to be read because their keys are much different. And he was explaining it to my guy. And then he said, but that's why they're really successful on that level. He goes, it's a lot like Bobby Petrino. Petrino's quarterbacks are so coached up, like they're so so coached up for the offense that a lot of times they don't even know how to read, or they don't know how to acclimate to the pro offense quickly because they're so good at the college offense that Bobby runs. He said Bobby is phenomenal with quarterbacks. He's known as being phenomenal with quarterbacks and getting the most out of them.
No, his record is unbelievable. Listen, I saw
Jimbo Jimbo needs this because, you know, the idea that Jimbo couldn't be fired because there's still a ton of money left on his buyout, man, oil money don't play. And the Aggies aren't trying to have Texas come into the league.
That's a lot of millions, even for Aggie money.
But Jimbo needs. Jimbo can't be. I mean, Jimbo needs. I think Jimbo needs 9 wins.
I just got this. I will personally sponsor the Bobby Petrino radio show on 97.5. That would be great radio. It would be. And followed
is that
by
a Longhorn fan or an Aggie fan?
It's an Aggie.
Okay.
Followed by the Jimbo Fisher show.
Oh, we're not doing that. We're not doing that.
Now, 743 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. They might need some lawyers, Lance. And if they need a lawyer.
Well, I'm going to tell them to call John Daspit. And I think Daspit actually is going to be involved in some Texas A&M NIL this year, which should make them very happy. But the Cougars football team, I mean, this is going to be, they're going to be big. Big beneficiaries, and he likes to give back. He likes to give back inside the community. The community is taking care of him in terms of trusting them with their business. And why wouldn't you? When it comes to taking care of people who have been injured and severely injured, in some cases, you know, it's catastrophic injury, either physically or through loss of life for families. You need someone who is on your side to fight against the insurance company. I hate saying that. It shouldn't be like that. But unfortunately, the lawyers for the insurance companies, they're out there trying to squeeze and limit the amount of payouts for people who have been injured through someone else's negligence. And John Daspit's like, no, we're not going to do this. And that's why he bullies the bully. He's going to be out there fighting for you. He's done it. He gets to the settlements easily. If he needs to go to court, he'll do that. But this guy is a winner. He is a one seed all the time. And he's the biggest firm here in the city of Houston for personal injury. This is the guy you need on your side. John Daspit, John Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, or you can call 713-322-HURT.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Rockets tonight. They've got back-to-back. They start a road trip here, the two of
them. Guess who's back tonight?
It's brutal. That's
Guess
exactly
who's
right.
back against the Rockets?
Ja Morant is returning. At Memphis, at Cleveland,
Guess who's out? New York,
at Brooklyn.
Guess who's out for getting his billion technical this year?
Dylan Brooks is out. So, yeah, with Dylan Brooks, and they got another key injury as well that won't play tonight. But Ja is back. Now, Ja, some funny memes going around. Ja is back, but he met the media for the first. It wasn't the softball. No, it wasn't. He met the media before with Jalen Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And Jalen was soft tossing.
Yeah.
He had a little, the Yordan
Ja,
Alvarez soft toss.
How are you feeling right now? Tell us how you're feeling, how you're going through things. And
yeah. Ja,
what have you learned so far that you think is going to make you a better person?
Ja, that gun wasn't yours, was it?
That wasn't yours, right?
Yeah.
No, definitely was not
mine.
That
incident in Indianapolis, you really didn't have anything to do with that, did you?
You've learned from that, haven't you? I definitely have.
Anyway.
Have you learned what you have to lose now? For sure.
He met the real media.
Yeah.
And he had, one of the questions was, hey, Ja, was it Remy?
Remy Ma was there asking questions?
It was Henny.
Remy or Henny? I mean, I respect it, John.
No.
You said, was it Remy or was it Henny?
So it was Henny, and he's in a video chugging some Henny, and was asked, and it wasn't the first time that we've seen Ja with, you know.
Chugging Hennessy,
yeah,
man.
That's strong. I mean, you got some game if you're bringing it. Apparently, Ja says, no, I ain't got no drinking game.
I don't got an alcohol problem, never had an alcohol problem. I didn't go there for alcohol, I went there for counseling.
The NBA statement that Adam Silver put out concluded that you were intoxicated in Denver. I don't know how they were able to determine that. Is that something that came up in your conversation?
I don't have an alcohol problem, never had an alcohol problem. I went there for counseling to learn how to, you know, manage stress, cope with stress in, you know, a positive way. Instead of, you know, ways I've, you know, tried to deal with it before that, you know, caused me to make, you know, mistakes.
Hmm. Apparently he was drunk in the gun, with the gun, that video that he put out, and then the chugging, the Henny. I mean, there were all kinds
of... nobody believes him. That's not the case.
Well,
I mean, he can try to...
He had a prepared statement from his lawyer.
Yeah.
I did not go there for alcohol. I went there for stress. I did not go there for alcohol. I went there for stress.
Yeah.
How to manage stressful situations.
My guess is he's got, especially after Mark Spears had that very cryptic comment on a podcast, like he's heard and he's very concerned for Ja. I think more than likely Ja is there for reasons that are beyond just stress. I think it's, you know, it looks like he's got anger management type of issues, or certainly impulse issues, which a lot of people have. I'm concerned about some type of substance abuse, whether it's alcohol or whatever. I don't know if that's the case, but obviously there are some indications that could be an issue. Whatever it is, I don't think it gets fixed in 2 weeks. It's not really how it works. You don't have these issues. Ja has had severe issues. I mean, he has issues right now with knowing right from wrong. Like to beat up a high school kid, that's just not to go and to have your guys pointing a red beam on somebody, which I don't know if it was from a gun scope or not, because they got kicked out of the stadium at all. I've never come close to getting kicked out of any stadium. You got to do some wild stuff to get kicked out of a stadium.
Wait a minute. Wait.
Well, I know what you're going to say, but why?
What, like, are you comparing yourself to?
Because,
Jaws?
Okay, so how should Jaws guys be acting where they get close to getting kicked out?
I don't know. I mean,
I'm just asking. I've been to games, but I don't.
Well, you don't have anybody like your. That's their guy.
So Jaws. How should he be? How should they be?
They
acting?
Shouldn't be acting like that. Obviously,
but you get close to getting kicked out.
Neither should have Shannon Sharpe. He shouldn't have acted like that.
No.
Or any of the people that
Shannon should have been kicked out.
But you can't compare. Why are you comparing yourself to these people?
Because the point I'm making is, why do we have a different set of standards for people Jaws hanging around? But like, no, that's normal for Jaws people to get kicked out.
Nobody said it was normal.
That's what I'm saying is, why is it normal for somebody for us to say,
no, he's got kicked out. That's not normal. It's not normal.
Well, then I should be able to say, have you ever been kicked out of a game? A pro game?
No, I've never been kicked out of a pro game.
But you almost got kicked out of a pro game, right?
I almost did.
When?
When Lamar, you got into Lamar Odom? Wife in the front row.
He just looked at her and touched her leg once.
He looked at her more than once, and he went by on her knee. I was like, "Hey, what? My wife."
So Ja, what ails Ja? Ja right now has a fundamental. It feels like a fundamental entitlement issue. The way he behaves, it's like he just doesn't know.
No.
He doesn't know what he shouldn't be doing. And I don't know if it's just because he's in the league now. Like, it's, I don't know what it is, but I know this. I don't think it gets fixed in 2 weeks.
It happens to immature guys, but they can figure it out. It's the Zeke syndrome. Ezekiel Elliott was wild. He's pulling girls' shirts down. He's having altercations at a concert.
Yeah, no, it's actually very similar.
Yeah.
Because Zeke was like, you can't pull someone's top down. Like, who thinks that's okay?
The things that were happening
And at the Pro Bowl, he was a mess. You know, behind the scenes, he was a mess at the Pro Bowl.
Yeah,
he was
so,
there.
I mean,
he was a mess at Ohio State.
But he has since. Have you heard anything?
Well, he had the big party at his house during COVID when you weren't supposed to. That was him and Dak, I think, or maybe it was just Dak.
I don't remember.
That was really looked down upon while the league was trying to get going again.
Yeah,
and there's like 20 people dinner party, like just a completely ignored everything.
Did they sit down like?
That's what it was said.
Downton Abbey.
That's what it was. You can have a dinner party without it. It doesn't have to be, you know, where you've got the Chargers on the plates and all that stuff. It could be, you could have a bunch of people that come over to sit down. A dinner party doesn't have to be with gold lame plating.
I don't know. He had a dinner party.
Bum, 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 bum. You don't have to have butlers there just because it's a dinner party.
Behind every
person. You can all have drinks and then just sit down and have,
I guess,
you know, have steaks or whatever. Here's John Morant. You know, now one thing that got John a lot of trouble when he was saying you can hold these hot, people don't even realize, I think, I'm not even talking to just about beating up a high school kid, threatening to, him and his boys going up to threaten to beat up the mall cop, the pointing a scope on somebody. The gun, I'm talking about. He's talking about people catching these hollow points on social media. Ja's out of control on social media. Ja was asked about social media as well.
I won't be doing that at all. Me saying things, actions speak very louder than words. So that's my main focus now. Obviously, super excited to be back with my teammates. That's, the main thing right now. So. Right now, for me, it's just, keeping the main thing, and continuing to, go through my process of, becoming, a better me. I feel like, if I do that, not only will it help me, but it'll help, everybody around me as well.
I'm cheering for Ja, and I tell you why. I want to see him succeed. I want to see him get better as a person. He's a highly talented player. I want to see, because I do think he has a big impact on other people around him. I think NBA players in general and athletes in general, Charles Barkley was a big deal when he said, I am not a role model. But the fact is, you are. Whether you like it or not, professional athletes, kids look up to them and they emulate them. And we've seen emulating athletes in really a negative way over the last decade or so, where it's gotten not great. I think sometimes you watch some of the youth stuff that's gone on. But I think Ja is somebody who, staying off social media, could have a huge positive impact on him, because he sees the negativity and he, gets defensive and fights back. If you can stay off social media, I think that's one of the number one culprits for a lot of young players today, is that they've grown up with social media. And social media is a very toxic place. especially with the trolls who come after you. I think the advantages of being off social media, if he truly stays off and doesn't get a burner account, if he truly stays off social media, I think Jai will be much happier as a person. He doesn't hear what some random person on a keyboard says. It's amplified by Twitter. You don't hear any of that stuff. You don't see if your name's trending. You just go play ball and live your life. I think if Ja can stay off social media, I think he'll be much happier. I think that could be said for any and all of us, and not just professional athletes, but I think especially professional athletes because of what they have to deal with. Yeah, they get a lot of positivity, but they skip past that and they see the negativity, and that's why. Do you think Kevin Durant would be a happy person if he stayed off social media, John? Or stayed off the internet?
I don't want to. I don't know about.
He
his
had
happiness.
To get a burner because he was so upset at what a 15-year-old said on a blog.
That's what doesn't make him happy. I don't know. He likes to fight back and be and defend his honor. Dreamshake does it for him. I don't know why Kevin Durant has to do that.
I'm sorry. Do you think Dreamshake is maybe a Kevin Durant burner?
He is Kevin Durant.
Maybe you've seen how hard he fights for him.
Yes, he does.
Now Kevin Durant's also had conversations with us about the Texans, if that's his burner account. So that's
Kevin Durant might love the Texans.
He might. He went to Texas. He's long. Yeah. Once you're a Longhorn for 1 year, you're a Longhorn for every year.
Forever. 758 ESPN 97.
Dreamshake, is that really the Kevin Durant burner? And is Kevin Durant listening to the show right now?
Right now. He may be. Dreamshake, tweet the show.
Kevin. I mean, Dreamshake. Let us know your thoughts on Kevin Durant. Who's the greatest player in basketball right now? Give us your thoughts on Twitter.
Durant Shake. Bring it. Let's go. 713-78. You guys got to bring it. 713-780-3776 is the number for you to get in here. 713-780-3776. Let's go. I need to talk right now about golf. I need to talk right now about Highland Pines. I need to talk about this new golf course that is – I love it. I've joined. And I think it's the best deal in the entire area, okay? For the money that you spend, the initiation, there's always an initiation. I'm telling you, the initiations in some clubs are just ridiculous. I mean, it's stupid how expensive it is. This is affordable. The monthly is lower than you're going to find at any private club. I'm telling you, it's ridiculous how low it is. To me, it's the best bargain that you're going to get. Highland Pines is the newest course that we have here in the city of Houston. I love it. Love it, love it. The elevation changes, the woods, the water. The grass is different than any other. It's zoysia, and then the laser zoysia on the greens, which is different. And the undulating greens that are spectacular. I just love this. I'm telling you, you'll love it too. If you haven't played up there, it's in Porter, which is, listen, I'm in the Galleria. It takes me about 30, 35 minutes to get there. That's nothing to drive for golf. And I've decided I'm joining. I'm there. I'm going to be there for life. I love this golf course. All my buddies, they're like, I can't wait to play. We're going to be there all the time. I'm telling you, you will be there all the time too. Building a new, beautiful clubhouse. It is Houston's newest golf course, and I'm telling you, you got to play it. Daily fee, you can join or you can go daily fee. GolfHighlandPines.com. That's GolfHighlandPines.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple knuckleheads, if you ask me. Hey.